Obviously, in Georgia, glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth has become a serious and significant problem. Managing this pest is influenced by many factors. In those areas where we're fortunate and we have rainfall where we can irrigate, life seems to be fairly productive. However, in much of the state, as you can see in the bottom right-hand corner of your slide, it is far more challenging. And in fact, before we can develop any kind of management program, we have to know exactly what our growers are doing. And this is rather new to me, because in the past, to manage weeds, generally I just needed to know your weed species. But I have to know if it's irrigated, conventional, conservation tillage. If it's irrigated, we typically do very well, as long as we can convince the grower to cut the irrigation on within a day or two of the residual herbicides. But dry land is where we are struggling, and we are struggling desperately. Just to give an example, all of us now know residual herbicides are a strong component of any program to manage glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth. If you were in my state, or in the central part of my state near Tifton last year, and you want to get it an activating rainfall, you essentially had 5 to 7 days where you would get at least a half an inch of rain. So it is a challenge for us in central and the southern part of the state to get these residuals, especially at plant herbicides, activated by rainfall. And that is why we're struggling so desperately in dry land production. Now, there's no doubt, at least in our state, an integrated approach is going to be needed to manage this pest. And we're trying to understand and determine what potential tactics could be used in that approach to obtain acceptable control. Is it tillage? Is it cover crops? We're 98% Roundup ready right now. Should we be using more Ignite-based programs? Or is it going to be a mixture of all of these plus additional control tactics such as hand weeding? Now, the objective of this specific study was basically to determine the impacts of several different tillage implements, such as deep turning, incorporating a yellow herbicide, and cultivating in a dry land, obviously conventionally produced crop. We had two different experiments I'm going to show you results from. Both experiments were conducted in Macon County, Georgia this past season. The first experiment, we had a factorial treatment arrangement with two tillage options and four herbicide options. The two tillage options were either breaking the land, which keep in mind we haven't done in a long, long time, or not breaking the land. And our herbicide options were no herbicide, a WeatherMax only or glyphosate only program. And then what we had two programs or systems that I'll be referring to is either the Prowl system or the Treflan system. The Prowl system was simply an application of Prowl plus Reflex pre-emergence, and then we followed with a topical application of WeatherMax and Dual, and then a lay-by of conventional chemistry, Dyrex and MSMA. And then the Treflan system, where we actually went out and had to remember how to incorporate a yellow herbicide, but we incorporated Treflan, followed with Reflex Pre, and then followed with the same post-emergence treatments. Herbicide use rates were typical for the soils in which we were producing this crop. We had typical plot, small plot procedures. I will say the one thing that is fairly important to note here, we did get rainfall occurring 5 days after application. And with that rainfall 5 days after application, that, as I showed you in the previous slides with rainfall patterns, that is a great case scenario for us. So in this situation, our residual at plant herbicides are going to be far more productive in this experiment and the data I'm showing you than in a typical situation where it may not have rained for 10 or 15 days. Now, right after off the bat, when we were at 1 to 2 leaf cotton, it was very evident one of the factors was extremely important, and it was breaking the land. Even when we didn't have a herbicide applied at all, the difference between breaking the land and not breaking the land was very evident. Now, when you counted all your replications, it was about a 60% reduction in the amount of palm amaranth plants that were present in the NOAA herbicide systems at two-leaf cotton. And we all know managing this pest is essentially a fight against the seed bank and the population that we've got. Now, looking at mid to late season results of palm amaranth control, just prior to our lay-by treatment going out, with percent control along our y-axis and our treatments along the x-axis. You can see in our no-deep tillage, we essentially had a non-treated, but of course I assigned those values of zero, so I pulled it out of the analysis. Then we had the Roundup-only system. We haven't put the last application out yet, so it's a two applications. Then we had the Prowl system and the Treflan system. And then to the right of that, you've got the deep tillage programs where you had, again, the same systems with no herbicide, Roundup Twice, a Prowl system, or Treflin system. When you look where you did not have deep tillage, it was pretty obvious the Treflin system was more effective. And you've heard many people talk, including Dr. York, say sometimes 95% control isn't enough. So even though that 89 in the Prowl system looks pretty good, we're not even at lay-by, and it serves a potential challenge for us. However, if you look at the deep tillage systems, you can see right off the bat with the no herbicide option, we still have about 53% visual control with no herbicide. And this is pretty good for me because for 4 or 5 years, I couldn't make anything to give me by itself 50 or 60% control. The Roundup didn't help much, but the Prowl system and the Treflin system were absolutely phenomenal and the first time in about 4 or 5 years I've ever had a program where I had acceptable control. At harvest, you still see the advantage of the Treflin system over the Prowl system without deep tillage, but both programs were fairly effective or provided almost, we'd say, excellent control in the deep tillage program. And here's just an example of what we were seeing in the field. It's the exact same herbicide program. We simply have less plants emerge where we had deep turn. So although you may have removed the same percentage of plants, we can at least harvest our crop with that where we deep turned. Seed cotton yield followed trends very closely related to the Palmer amaranth control. When we did not have the deep tillage or breaking the land, the Treflin system was more productive than the Prowl system. Where we had deep tillage, the Prowl system and the Treflin system were statistically similar. And obviously we could not harvest where we did not have a herbicide program or we made 3 applications of glyphosate. Now our second experiment was related obviously to the first experiment, but I wanted to go with a little bit larger plots. Other than those large plots, we followed those typical same methods. Again, we had a factorial where we had 2 herbicide treatments, and then we had those herbicide treatments, each of them with and without cultivation. And the 2 herbicide systems were identical to what I was just talking to you about. It's the Prowl system, where we had Prowl plus Reflex Pre, or it's the PPI Treflin system where we incorporated that Treflin, but everything else is identical to experiment 1. It actually worked out very nicely. It rarely does, but at least in this experiment, we saw similar results to what we saw in experiment 1. At harvest, incorporating the Treflin gave us about 10% better control versus putting the Prowl H2O on top of the ground. This experiment also received rainfall 5 days after application, and I think that's critical because if it was 10 or 15 or 20 days after application, my guesstimate would be the Treflin system would even be more effective. The benefit from cultivation was seen in the Prowl system with 11% better control. We did not have a significant advantage in the Treflin system, but again, with the mentality of we often need 98 or 99% control, that may be a practical advantage to some of our growers. Just an example of that same Prowl system with and without cultivation. Obviously, where we use the cultivation, you can see the pigweed are still in the row. Many people might not think this is very good, but it is the cleanest plot that I've ever taken pictures of in Macon County. So it was a very exciting and promising year for us. Yield followed almost identical trends, except for we did have a significant advantage within each system when we cultivated. So the benefit of that cultivation, even in the Treflin system, showed with our yield comparisons. Now, in summary, when we deep-turned the land early in the season, we went out and counted Palmer amaranth plants per square yard, and we removed about 60% of that population. By late season, it was very complicated to get in there to understand what kind of population you had because the Palmer amaranth was often 7 or 8 foot tall. So it was really not a good way to go in and take an accurate estimate. Even though we had excellent early season or good early season reduction in plant species, by late season, obviously the plants got so robust it was no visual benefit. Deep turning did improve Palmer amaranth control on the Prowl system, both its by 15%, and it also improved yield by 19%. So again, very early on, it was very obvious to us that the deep turning of the land was very similar. And I will say, some work out of Alabama was done 3 or 4 years ago, and their numbers generally range between 60% and 70% reduction of various weed species, including glyphosate-sensitive palm amaranth. So it made us feel good when we saw some of Dr. Monks' data that looked very similar. When we didn't deep turn the land, which is 99.9999% of our conservation tillage, of our conventional tillage, we were able to see a significant benefit from incorporating that yellow herbicide. And again, we understand the limitations and the growers not wanting to do this. We're simply trying to find programs that are effective. And the benefit was of about 11% of palm amaranth control, and we increased yield at least 26%. Cultivation was also beneficial in improving control of glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth in the prowl system. We did not see that in the trefland system, but we did see a boost in yield from cultivating in both of those systems. So basically, in conclusion, deep turning the land, incorporating the yellow herbicide, and cultivation can all be used in a program's approach to help us address the situation that we're facing with dry land production of Roundup Ready cotton in the state of Georgia. With that, I'd be happy to try to entertain any questions if we have time. Well, his question was, do I think I'd have seen much difference if I'd used Prowl 3.3 EC versus Prowl H2O? We have done a tremendous amount of work comparing the formulations. In the real world, I don't believe we'd have seen much difference. If we've done it 50 times, which we've done several trials comparing them, every once in a while we'll see the trend that H2O is usually better. But at least with the work myself and Dr. Prosco are doing, we're usually not seeing a huge benefit if you get that rainfall within that five-day period. Now, if it was 15 or 20 or 30 days later, you might would see that. But with that rainfall in there, I don't know that it would have been a practical difference in there. So I'd expect similar response. Other questions? Dr. Smith? No tillage had occurred at least prior to 1997. Great point. Absolutely. That was the original farm of the original site where we found resistance in 2004. It was probably there in 2001 or 2002. And that land has not been broke since the release of Roundup Ready technology. Great point. Any other questions or comments? You know, I'll give you an answer, and then some of these guys like Dr. York, Dr. Smith, who've got far more experience than I do back in the incorporation days. I'm the Roundup Ready generation where we got away from incorporation. But I believe a yellow herbicide incorporated, I'd have saw a similar response. I don't believe it's a difference in the prowl and the trefland. I personally believe it's a difference between incorporating and putting it on top of the ground. And that, again, I have far less experience than many people in this room. Actually, good question is, what are we going to do next year and different tillages? So at the same time we did this, I knew if I went to talk to growers about breaking the land, the first question they're going to ask and already asking is, when can we turn it back up? So Dr. Sanosky started a sister study where she's planted seeds to look at the life or viability of that seed and how long it'll last. So my theory is, okay, before my growers would want to break the land back, we'll have some good data at 3 to 4 years of how much percent of the seed that we buried actually die. So it'll give us an indication of when we can turn it back up. But as far as what we're going to do next year, we actually, after seeing this, we went into very large plots, and we will take them long term with breaking land, not breaking land, etc. So this was kind of me and Jeremy playing around trying to see what we saw, but we got really large plots that we're going to do long term to see how long you could leave it without breaking it again. So the goal is to break the land, bury the seed die, or at least 60 or 70% of the seed die. Then you flip it back. Our programs are pretty good, but we got to reduce the populations to pick our crop.
All right, let's thank our speaker.